Welcome to Torah Tzimcha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Hindi Mendelowitz. Today we continue in Sefer Tehillim, Perek Kuf Yud Dalid, chapter 114. And while it feels like a regular day, we're lucky enough on this day to be continuing with the Hallel, continuing with the chapters that compose the body called Hallel, which we began, of course, yesterday with Perek Kuf Yud Gimel. And again, as we set up yesterday, this is the song that will describe the unique relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the relationship that we call that of Hashgacha Pratit, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intimate, direct relationship with Klal Yisrael, and not just having created the world and standing back, but the understanding we have of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as stepping in, as being intimately involved. And as we discussed in that perek, there was a time, there was a place where this relationship developed, where it was born. And it's our perek Kuf Yud Dalid, which answers the question of when or how did it happen that the Jewish people became different, whereas all of the world is directed and orchestrated and led by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is only our nation, Klal Yisrael, that has this unique bond whereby there's what we call Hashgacha Pratit, a precise, targeted, individual interaction between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his very own children. Where did this begin? Perek Kuf Yud Dalid is the answer. When did it start? And the answer begins triumphantly, Pasuk Aleph, verse 1. B'tzeis Yisrael mimitzrayim. This relationship of Hashgacha Pratit was born when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim. Beis Yaakov meyam loez. And when they left Mitzrayim, they initiated this very deep, very loving, very close bond where HaKadosh Baruch Hu not just created a system and let it run, but as was very clear in the world, at Yitziat Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could step in to the system and turn it upside down, which he did for the Jews as he took them out of Mitzrayim. This is, world is not just a clock that keeps ticking, but there is a master of the world who can step in and change the entire direction and move things around for the nation that is his. That began when Yisrael left, because despite 210 years of difficult servitude in the land of Mitzrayim, in the land of Egypt, when Klal Yisrael left, they could still be defined as Yisrael. They were still proudly holding on to the legacy of their forefather, their grandfather, Yisrael, and were clearly definable as such. They did not become just another set of Egyptian-looking or seeming people, as becomes clear with Beis Yaakov me'am lo ez. When the household of Yaakov left, am lo ez, people of an alien tongue, people who spoke a strange language. And the Me'am Lo'ez asks a question, which perhaps seems obvious. The Jewish people were in Egypt for 210 years. The language was still strange. Many of us are grandchildren or children or immigrants ourselves. We're that second or first or third generation of people who moved to a different place. And we know that we as Jews have a terrific knack for picking up the lingo and learning the rules and figuring out how to make it in a new place quite quickly. 210 years later, the Egyptians were still a strange people. And herein lies the secret of how Beis Yaakov rose to become Israel. Because for 210 years in Mitzrayim, the Jews understood that the very language of the Mitzrim was an expression of their crass, promiscuous culture. It was dirty talk. And Klal Yisrael never descended to that kind of slang. But instead they held on to Lashon HaKodesh, the language which expressed their own inner holy core. And because they held on to their language, the Mitzri host nation, the Egyptian, remained an alien tongue. And with that, they protected themselves to be a nation that could be worthy of leaving that place because they never fully melted in. Continuing to the moment that defines the relationship between, again, Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Bet, verse 2. Haisa Yehuda lekadsho, Yisrael mamshelosav. As the Malbim points out, the tribe of Yehuda plays a very prominent role in the development, in the birth, really, of this relationship of Hashgacha Pratit. Because 7 days after the Jews left as Israel, in the brightness of day from Mitzrayim, they then bumped into a very serious obstacle. Whereas they were running out on a high, they suddenly stopped, found their path blocked by the raging Yam Suf, by the raging sea, found the Mitzrim turning back, saw them, with murder in their eyes pursuing them, and on either side of them was the wilderness, full of wild animals, and Klal Yisrael had nowhere to go. The Malbim explains that Yehuda, as a tribe, took an example from none other than God himself, and looked at the way in which he had bent nature for the past year of the Makot, of the plagues, and said, if God is a power who can rise above nature in order to save us, his children, we can emulate that. We can rise to that. And we can rise above our own nature with Mesirut Nefesh, with self-sacrifice. And it's the hero of Shevet Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadav, who set the lead, who stepped into the raging sea and the waters kept rising to his knees, to his belly, to his chest, and he continued to walk forward into the sea until the water reached his nose. And when he did that, confident that if he could rise above his nature, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do the same. And at that, the sea split. And the Malbim speaks again of this reciprocity, of Yehuda following the lead of Nachshon ben Aminadav, understanding that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was above nature, so too could they be above nature. And when that happened, Haisa Yehuda lekadsho, they activated in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he would relate to them as kadsho, with this hanhaga, with this leadership of they are kodesh, they are above nature. We learned this behavior from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. We exhibited an ability to rise above our nature. And as such, HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspends nature before us. Yisrael mamshelosav. And Yisrael, following the lead of Yehuda, also become worthy, deserve, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show mamshelosav, should show his dominion over nature and his ability to overturn it through Nisim. We deserved that when we ran into the Yam, confident that it would split. And when this happened, when an entirely new way of behavior was born, we are told, Pasuk Gimel, verse 3, Hayam ra'a vayanos, the sea saw and fled. Hayaldin yisov liachol, the Jordan turned backwards. Here we actually relate to two instances of water splitting before the Jews. The one is the famous time we started with, of Klal Yisrael facing the Yam as they escaped Mitzrayim. The next episode happened 40 years later, when Klal Yisrael, under the leadership of Yoshua, were entering Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel, for the first time. Moshe Rabbeinu could not lead them into Eretz Yisrael, but his trusted disciple Yoshua was at the lead when our nation stepped into our land for the very first time. And again, entering the land, they faced an obstacle. They faced a blockage. And that was the Yarden, the Jordan River, which was in their way. We are told that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Yoshua, for the Kohanim, for the priests, to lift up the Aron Brit Hashem, the Aron, the Ark, which was carrying the Luchot, and in the Zchut, in the merit of the Torah that rested within the Ark, they stepped their toes into the Jordan River, and the Jordan too halted before the Jewish people. Now the language here is precise. The Yam Suf, Nas, fled, whereas the Yarden turned back, because the whole activity of splitting was different in each case. The Yam Suf actually split on two sides, created a beautiful lane for Klal Yisrael to walk through. Whereas when it came to the Yarden, when it came to the Jordan River, we're told that the river was flowing downstream. When the Kohanim stepped their feet into the Jordan River, that is where whatever was behind them or to the right of them stopped, and the waters piled up like a wall on one side. The rest of the waters continued downstream towards Yam HaMelech, which means that on the one side there was this wall of water that stopped, that turned back, and the rest of the waters flowed downstream, so there was a dry riverbed to pass through. And when this happened, Pasuk Dalid, Heharim ragdu che'elim, the mountains skipped like rams, gva'os kivnitzon, and the hills like young sheep. And then the question is asked to these mountains and hills, acting completely out of character, Malecha hayam kisanus, what is going on with you, sea, that you flee? Hayal dein tisov liachol, what is going on with you, Jordan River, that you turn back? What is happening to the world? Heharim tirkedu che'elim, the mountains, you're skipping like rams, gva'os kivnitzon, hills like young lambs. What has changed in the world? The answer is the entire world is shaking. The entire world is dancing because something new happened here. And that which happened is this. Pasuk Zayin, verse 7. Milifnei Adon choli aretz. Before the very presence of the master of the world himself, choli aretz, the earth is trembling. And the earth here is speaking in first person. I, the earth, trembles. Milifnei Eloka Yaakov. Before the presence of the God of Yaakov. At Sinai, the world was reborn with an entirely new energy. And this new energy causes the very earth to tremble. Because the Adon Haaretz, the master of the world himself, is perceived no longer as distant, but he's perceived as a force, as a power, as a God who has come into this world to change it and to make his presence known. And the reason he does this, as explains the Malbim, is Milifnei Eloka Yaakov, because he is identifying himself as the God of Yaakov, as the God of our nation. And as such, again, he's not distant, he's not far, but he makes himself present to every single Jew who's a descendant of Yaakov. This is the God, Haofri Hatzul Agamayim, who turns the rock into a pond of water, Chalamish Lemainomayim, and pebbles or stones into a flowing fountain. And this, according again to the Yalkut Me'amloes, addresses a uniqueness that took place as the Jews crossed through the Yam, where first, of course, there was flowing water that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned into a rock-like substance as the sea split. It created walls on either side. But then, as they went through, many of us are those good Jewish women. We don't go anywhere without a lot of food in the bag. As the Jews crossed the Yam, they were thirsty. And what would they drink? Whereupon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed them to strike the frozen walls of water that were like rock. And miraculously, they had been like chalamish, like pebbles, like flint, and suddenly turned into sweet-flowing springs, where the nes within the nes was the water that turned to stone, and then the stone which could become flowing sweet water. Again, the testimony, one more small detail, which points to a God who in this joyous, joyous moment became a God who was not ram, who was not distanced or removed, but Klal Yisrael, because they noticed this in God, became a nation that was worthy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself in the most intimate, attentive way possible. And this is the relationship, of course, that is renewed, that we taste, that we touch, every single time we sing the Prakim of the Hallel. Thank you for studying the Ilei Nishmat, Helen Moskowitz and Fanny Lehman. Their legendary kindness supported hundreds of World War II Shirei Tapleta. Their profound connection to Tehillim is inspirational to this day. Sponsored by their grandchildren, Yitzchak and Barbie Lehman Siegel.